The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, damn, Championship Sunday was pretty crazy. We now have our the two representatives that will be in Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, Arizona. So let's get right into Championship Sunday. Very interesting turn of events. One thing I would like to point out with football, well, it's really sports in general, but there's a saying by Bill Parcells. The old coach Bill Parcells, he used to say, you are what you are. And it's just always funny to me because that really always points it out at the end of the season. And it's just funny how certain narratives, if it starts with a team at the beginning of the season and it's a narrative that just keeps rolling around all season long, it could follow you all the way up until the championship game. And at some point it comes back to bite you in the ass. So let's start off with the NFC Championship game. And the San Francisco 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles. This game was not even close at all. So as I just said, you are what you are. And what has been the theme of the 49ers season since, well, even before the regular season, all offseason? It was about who was going to be the starting quarterback. So we start the season off with Trey Lance. He gets injured. Then go to Jimmy Garoppolo. He gets injured. Then we go to Brock Purdy, and then yesterday in the NFC Championship game. So Eagles get take their first drive right down the field, score 7 points right off the bat. And the Niners come right out, and I want to keep it real with you. The Niners looked shook from the jump. Before anything even really happened, the Niners did not look like they were ready to go. And that really showed on the first drive, but that it really showed on this first drive but by them on offense. And yes, Brock Purdy did get injured right off the bat, right on the first drive. He actually fumbles the ball. He gets hit kind of right on his like forearm, kind of bends back a bit. And you can actually see when he runs over to the sideline after the play, he runs up to the coach and you could see him mouthing, I can't grip the ball. And actually with that, what I saw that was shades of Colt McCoy for me, because if you remember when the Texas Longhorns in the national championship, they played Alabama years ago, and Colt McCoy, he was leading us down the field, ready to score a touchdown, and he ends up basically kind of like pinching a nerve or something in his shoulder, in his neck area there, and he couldn't throw the ball, and so he was out for the rest of that game, and that was one of the big reasons why we lost that game. And now I will say, even if Brock Purdy had played this game, I kind of feel like this is how the Niners offense was going to look all day. They probably would have scored maybe one, possibly two more touchdowns. But really, you could tell just on that first drive, they weren't able to do anything. They looked kind of shook. And then defensively, they pretty much held it down in the first half, but then the Eagles really just started to get away with it, because then once the Niners put in their fourth string quarterback, Josh Johnson, was that his name? I can't even remember his name. I almost said Josh Jacobs, but that's the running back for the Raiders. I'm pretty sure it was Josh Johnson was his name, but regardless, this is the fourth string quarterback. He comes in, he plays a few drives, and then guess what? He gets injured. He is out with a concussion, and so Purdy, even though he's on the sideline, he can't play. They're kind of screwed, because Christian McCaffrey basically is their next backup quarterback, and it looked like they were going to try and get him going. But basically, what they did is they just had Brock Purdy come in, take the snaps, and hand the ball off, and that's pretty much all the Niners did for the majority of the game. Once Brock Purdy came in the second half. Very sad end for the Niners there, but that's the game, man. And like I said, I don't even think it really would have mattered had Purdy not been injured and still played. And I still think the Niners looked shook. You could tell as the game was going on, they were getting more and more frustrated. So was their coach. They were committing a bunch of dumbass penalties. And a lot of people are bitching about penalties today. Well, guess what? The Niners deserved every one of those penalties that they had called against them yesterday in the game. And the Eagles just put together a really solid game. The Eagles stomped the Niners 31-7. Miles Sanders, the running back for the Eagles, he had 42 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts had an okay game. He went 15 for 25, 121 yards, and 1 rushing touchdown. So he didn't really light anybody up. But I mean, that Niners defense, they did come to play. They pretty much held it down for the most part as best they could. But I mean, that Niners offense, they couldn't get anything going. Their ground attack couldn't do shit because that's all they were doing was just running the ball. And if the defense sees it every time, and Purdy could not throw, they tried to do, I think, 1 or 2 passes, and they were like really short passes just to try and get anything going. And they just were not able to get it going. And it was just kind of funny, too, because the Niners were just getting more and more frustrated. And I'm not even going to lie, I actually did laugh my ass off when both of their quarterbacks got injured in this one. Not because their quarterbacks got injured, just because that's football, and that's the name of the game. And like I said, that's been the theme of the season for the Niners. It doesn't matter who their quarterback is. At this rate, I kind of feel like they signed Tom Brady. That dude's going to get injured. It just kind of feels like that's the deal when you're the Niners quarterback. And I don't know what it is, just because some people have blamed Kyle Shanahan's style of play and the way he calls games, because the Niners are by far one of the most physical teams on the field, both offensively and defensively. They play very physically, and that's why, you know, Deebo Samuel ends up with injuries, because he's always in it. But pretty much all their quarterbacks, especially Brock Purdy, they just have got injured on just like regular old plays. Like Brock Purdy got injured on just a regular old play that can happen any Sunday. So it's just kind of weird to have that's been the theme of their season, and that's how their season ends. And that's why I was laughing, just because of the circumstances of life. And just when their 4-string quarterback gets taken out of the game, I just started to laugh. I'm like, man, this is funny. Also because they beat the Cowboys last week, and I really was kind of rooting against the Niners. I know I'm not supposed to root for the Eagles. I wasn't rooting for the Eagles. It's just they were kicking so much ass. It was just really, really difficult for me to not laugh at what was going on with the 49ers there. So 49ers are at home with the rest of us Cowboys fans, and actually the rest of the league, other than Eagles fans and Chiefs fans. The rest of us are drowning in our sorrow and ready for next season. But until then, we have the Philadelphia Eagles moving on to Super Bowl 57, by far the most complete team in the league. Now, as I was saying, you are what you are with the 49ers and themes that follow you out throughout the season. Well, the Eagles have been the best team all season, and so here they are in the Super Bowl. We'll see if they're able to complete their mission and win a Super Bowl, but I think they've got a great shot. You know, even though Jalen Hurts didn't have that great of a game, he's still, I mean, that's the number one defense. I think he had a good enough game, good enough to win. And their ground attack looked really good yesterday. And then their defense, Hassan Reddick had a couple of sacks. He was just in on basically every play on defense. So you really got to watch out for this Eagles team, as much as it pains me to say that. Now, moving on to the AFC Championship game between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs. It was yet another close, fun, exciting game. And it just came down to the very end, of course. And I mean, whoa. It just started out like kind of like last year's did, where the Chiefs just came right out scoring. They've got a really nice lead. But it actually looked like the Bengals defense was getting the job done, because the first two drives that the Chiefs were able to get in the scoring position, the Bengals defense were able to hold them to only 6 points total, two field goals. So you're feeling good right there. But then the Chiefs go up 13-3, and you're like, oh, shit. Is this going to be a repeat of last year? But then the Bengals turn it around, and they start getting it going. And then it's just really, it was really back and forth all the way to the bitter end. And then we get to the bitter end, and it's looking like we're going to be going into overtime. But there were lots of mistakes made by the Bengals last night. Like, it is, they've played some pretty flawless football for the majority of the season, really. But yesterday, a lot of their mistakes came out. Joe Burrow had two interceptions. He was sacked five times. So that poor offensive line, as I said, you are what you are. Well, guess what? The theme of the Cincinnati Bengals season has been their offensive line. And guess what? It finally caught up to them and let them down in this game with giving up those five sacks. But even beyond those five sacks, I mean, Joe Burrow was running for his life. The ground attack was not able to get going. And the passes that Burrow was able to finally make, you know, they did make some great plays on third and fourth down, but then they also had multiple drives stalled due to stupid penalties and then also just not really playing well. So it was a shockingly weird game from the Bengals, but, you know, that's going to happen. And then you turn over to the Chiefs side of things, and Mahomes is that dude. He is playing on one freaking ankle. You could tell at first the ankle, when the game started, wasn't bothering him that much. As the game wore on, of course, it started to bother him much. You could tell there were a few throws that were probably underthrown just because he couldn't really plant on that leg. But he still made the big plays when he had to. And the theme of the Chiefs season has been it rides through Mahomes. Guess what? They got this win because of Mahomes. He made the big, actually, there were two big plays on the last drive by the Chiefs. So the Bengals end up getting the ball back with like a minute 45, something left on the clock. And you're thinking, oh shit, man, Joe Burrow's got a shot at getting down the field. And this drive, of course, actually stalls out for the Bengals. So there's like 30 seconds left on the clock when they're getting ready to punt. Now, they punt the ball directly to Sky Moore, which I thought was kind of weird. I kind of felt like they should have just kicked it out of the bounds or at least close to the sideline just so he doesn't get loose. And unfortunately for them, Sky Moore gets loose. And he sets the Chiefs up about at the 50-yard line. And that's 30 seconds, 50-yard line is plenty of time for Mahomes to get his team either a touchdown or put them in the scoring position. So Mahomes, you know, they run a couple of plays. Then one final play, Mahomes takes off running, gets the first down. I believe it was like a third down, might have been second down. I don't know, but he runs, gets the first down, basically his only run of the game, so it mattered the most. But after he gets the first down, he is clearly out of bounds. And unfortunately for him, for Joseph Osai, he pushes Mahomes and he lands to the ground. And unfortunately, that adds 15 more yards to that first down, sets the Chiefs up right up in nice field goal range. Even though Harrison Butker has had his moments this season where he has failed, he stepped it up when he was needed most. And the Chiefs walk off win 23-20. It looked like we were heading into overtime. I feel like if the Bengals had not punted directly to Sky Moore, it might have gone into overtime, and who knows how it would have ended. But man, that was a crazy game. Mahomes ended up going 29 for 43, 326 yards, two touchdowns. Travis Kelce had 78 yards and one touchdown, so he continues his domination. Then Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he had just a huge game. At the wide receiver position, had 116 yards and one touchdown. And the Chiefs defense, they stepped it up when they really needed to. They made some big plays. They made a couple of interceptions on Burrow. They had the five sacks. So they just really held it down. Now, of course, people have lots and lots of complaints about the refereeing, but I will get to that towards the end of the show because I have some thoughts on that. And chances are they do not align with yours because if you don't know, I fucking hate crybabies. But anyways, we'll get to that when we get to that. So, Super Bowl 57 is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Philadelphia Eagles in Glendale, Arizona. Unfortunately, we have to wait 2 weeks. So this is going to be the first weekend without football, which is always just always awful. But that's just the way it goes. But it's going to be a really good matchup. I'll obviously break it down once we get closer to the Super Bowl, but I feel like, you know, these are the top two teams. They were both the number one seeds, so they obviously deserve to be here. But, you know, as I started it off by saying, like Bill Parcells said, you are what you are. It's kind of funny how even on Championship Sunday, you find out who you are, what you are. And if something has been following you all season long, chances are it's going to continue to follow you into the playoffs. And we'll see what happens on Super Bowl Sunday, because it could be the same thing with the Chiefs. Or, I mean, with both of these teams, just because, you know, anything can happen. These are both really good teams, but only one can win, and we'll see what happens. You know, Mahomes' injury could be a big deal since he's pretty much their entire offense, but at the same time, the dude has had an MVP season, and he has proven it time and time again, and he really proved it yesterday with what he did on the field. I feel like we all pretty much had, well, I'd say the majority of us had Mahomes as our MVP. And I feel like even though they don't count playoffs for the MVP votes, I just kind of feel like Mahomes has shown that he's been the best player in the league this year from start to finish. And there's a good shot that who gives a fuck about MVP? He could be winning his second Super Bowl. And hell, he's going to his third Super Bowl. And he's only been in the league, what, like six years. So yeah, he's dominating. And like I said, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a good matchup between the two. All right, so let's get to the top 10 NBA power rankings. A little bit of movement, nothing too crazy. We do have a new number one this week, and that would be the Philadelphia 76ers, who are currently on a 7-game winning streak, the longest winning streak in the league right now. They are 32-16 on the season, 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Brooklyn Nets and the Denver Nuggets, and it's really just all about Joel Embiid and James Harden. These two are just on a tear, especially Embiid. I mean, but I say that, and Harden has really just been on. Ever since he came back from his injury, he has been on fire, just scoring uncontrollably. It's like, whoa, we have the old James Harden back, it feels like. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Milwaukee Bucks, overall record of 33-17. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. And this past week, they got wins against the Detroit Pistons, the Denver Nuggets, the Indiana Pacers, and the New Orleans Pelicans. In the majority of those games, a couple of them they won by over 20 points. Like, the Bucks are just on a tear right now. Giannis dropped 50 points last night versus the Pelicans in only 30 minutes. So he's just dominating as well. I mean, it's just crazy to see how some of these players is just completely dominating. Once we get down to the MVP votes in the NBA this year, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because Giannis and Embiid have both been in the running, and they just keep getting hotter as the season goes on. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, taking a little bit of a tumble this week, the Boston Celtics, overall record of 36-15. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to Orlando, Miami, and the New York Knicks, but got a win against the Lakers on Saturday. And yeah, they're just on a little losing streak right now. They do have a couple of injuries, and Jason Tatum, though, still looking fucking fantastic. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 34-16. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the New Orleans Pelicans and lost to the Milwaukee Bucks and the Philadelphia 76ers. They're really just battling through injuries. Jokic, he's been in and out of a couple of games, and even when he plays, he's not playing a lot of minutes right now. So I just kind of feel like that's why they're not playing so well currently. But, I mean, yeah, when your entire team goes through one player, you're going to suffer if he gets injured. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record of 32-18. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Sacramento Kings, the Golden State Warriors, and the Minnesota Timberwolves, but did finally get a win yesterday against the Indiana Pacers, in which Ja Morant went off. He brought this team back. They were down in the fourth quarter. He went off for a triple-double, 27 points, 10 rebounds, and 15 assists. He just had a fantastic game. Part of the reason why they've been on a losing streak is because he's been injured. He's been battling injuries, and then also Steven Adams has been battling injuries. So their top two players have been in and out of games lately, and so to see Ja go off last night and then really bring this team back against a good Indiana Pacers team, it was a big deal for Ja and the Memphis Grizzlies. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Miami Heat, overall record of 28-23. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Boston Celtics and the Orlando Magic and lost to the Charlotte Hornets. They actually had a really solid week. They got some big wins. Bam Adebayo, he just continues his dominance. He's really, really stepped it up for the Heat this year. Jimmy Butler having another solid year. He did miss a game or two this week just due to illness. But other than that, the Miami Heat actually look pretty good out in the Eastern Conference right now. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Sacramento Kings, overall record of 27-21. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies and lost to the Toronto Raptors and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And right now, the Sacramento Kings are first in points per game in the league right now. They are averaging 120 points per game. So they are just scoring everybody out of the building. And they've really been one of the most dominating teams in the Western Conference the first half of the season. And I did not think that was going to happen at all, because who the hell thought the Kings were not only going to be good, but stay relevant for the majority of the season, at least thus far. We'll see if they're able to hold on to that throughout the entire season and make the playoffs. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that we have not talked about a lot this year, and that would be the Los Angeles Clippers. Overall record of 28-25. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. They are on somewhat of a little bit of a winning streak here. They've been one of the hottest teams the past couple of weeks. That's because they're finally healthy, at least a little bit. Right now, this past week, they did get wins against the Los Angeles Lakers, the San Antonio Spurs, and the Atlanta Hawks, and lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But, I mean, Kawhi Leonard, he's finally playing some games. Paul George, he's finally playing some games. I mean, the both of them, they still keep missing games in and out. But they're treading water right now, and the Western Conference is actually not that good. If you'll notice, my top 10 NBA power rankings for probably the last month or so has been dominated by the Eastern Conference, just because the Western Conference, like, they just keep falling back, and usually it's the Western Conference that's the dominating conference. And this year, man, you got the 76ers, you got the Celtics, you got the Bucks. They are on dominating tears. You got the Cavaliers, you got the Brooklyn Nets, you got the Heat. But then you turn over to the West, and it's really just the Nuggets and the Grizzlies, and then everybody else. Because even like the Phoenix Suns, I haven't talked about them in like a month and a half now, because they're cellar dwellers right now. Don't talk about the Lakers, because they fucking suck. And you know, just the Western Conference ain't shit right now compared to the East. And the Clippers are part of that, too. The Clippers haven't been that good this year. They finally now are being discussed, but I ain't going to be believing in the Clippers until those losers prove it. But they are in the top 10 this week. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Minnesota Timberwolves, overall record of 27-25. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Houston Rockets and got wins against New Orleans Pelicans, Memphis Grizzlies, and the Sacramento Kings. Anthony Edwards is on a tear right now. He just not only this season, but this week, he was why they won a couple of those games. Big games, too. I mean, Memphis and Sacramento were two of the top teams out west, and they got big wins against them. And so Anthony Edwards, yeah, he's looking good. And Rudy Gobert, he's fitting right in with the Timberwolves. Now, Timberwolves aren't really they aren't really as good as you would think they would be with that type of roster, but who knows? We'll see what they're able to do during the second half, but right now, they're playing pretty decent. And then rounding out my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 31-21. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the New York Knicks and the Oklahoma City Thunder and won against the Houston Rockets and the Los Angeles Clippers. They're really just trying to overcome the injuries as well with Kevin Love and Donovan Mitchell. And Darius Garland actually has stepped up nicely in the absence of Mitchell in the few games that Mitchell has missed. But you can tell the Cavaliers definitely need him back. And when he's injured, it's not good for them. Now, he hasn't missed as much time this past week as he did the week before, but still, you can tell he still has to get back at it. But that is the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Now, let's get to what we're going to call the rant of the show, because we had a bad weekend for referees. The officiating in multiple games, in multiple different sports, was pretty bad. We had some really bad calls. Some of them, I guess you would call game-changing calls, but also, I just personally have always hated people who complain about penalties and refs. Because at the end of the day, every single game, even if you lose because of one stupid call or one stupid penalty or whatever, there are multiple times in the game that you could point to where you could have won or got more points or got more yardage or whatever, but because you had a penalty that counted or because you did something stupid or missed a pass or whatever, you didn't win. And I've just always hated, and don't get me wrong, I want all the calls to be made correctly. Of course I do. But at the end of the day, we can't stop every game to replay every fucking thing that everybody thinks is a penalty. And we can't call every single thing every single time. Because basically, you could call holding on like every play in football. But if we did that, it would be every play. It'd be like, up, moving back, up, moving back, up, moving back. That would be so boring and nobody would fucking watch that shit. That's why they call it in certain instances has to be very egregious. But also, you got to understand, refs don't have eyes surrounding their fucking heads. And like I said, we can't replay everything. That also stops the game. So, like I said, we had some bad penalties this weekend, but y'all need to fucking get over it and shut the fuck up and stop crying and acting like there aren't other reasons that your teams didn't lose, that your teams lost, because there are. There are many reasons why they lost. This is actually one of the reasons why I prefer to watch games completely alone, because I can't stand people who cry incessantly throughout the fucking game about one penalty that happened like back in the first quarter. It's like, move the fuck on. Like, Jesus Christ, you have got to be the most miserable person if you hang on to fucking penalties that long. I can imagine what stupid shit you hang on to in your normal life that you hang on to. It's got to be pathetic as fuck. But anyways, we're talking about penalties and not your loser-ass life. So, the first big blown call this weekend was Saturday night. The Los Angeles Lakers were playing against the Boston Celtics. It actually was shockingly a good game from the Lakers. This was actually one of the first games I've really watched of the Lakers. I started off the season watching a lot of their games, and they've just become really unwatchable, especially Russell Westbrook. That dude is so awful to watch because it's like he immediately steps into the game and is just throwing up air balls. And it's like, what are you doing, dude? How are you still in a Lakers uniform? How have we not traded your ass yet? And the trade deadline's going to come around. That idiot's still going to be in a Lakers uniform. Watch. Anyways, I digress. They were actually playing a pretty good game. And I was like, wow, I might actually see them win. Because, you know, Celtics, not only is this a huge rivalry, but they're a damn good team. And it's like, shit, we get a win against them. That's actually a good win. And I finally got to see, like, a decent game from the Lakers. But then it started to get away from them in the fourth quarter. It started to go back and forth, and one of the things with the Lakers is they have really poor time management. They don't know when to call their timeouts. They call them too late. They don't know how to set up plays. It's just a really awful thing to watch, which is why I have not watched as many Laker games as I normally do, because they're just such a shitty fucking team. I mean, really, they are like bottom three in the Western Conference right now. Bottom three. They're only above the Spurs and the Rockets, okay? Those are like two of the worst teams in the league. That's how pathetic the Lakers are right now. We have LeBron and Anthony Davis on our team. Come on, y'all. That's pathetic. But anyways, I digress. So we get to the fourth quarter. It's a back and forth battle between the Celtics and the Lakers. It's tied up. Then the Lakers take a lead. Then it's tied up. Then the Lakers take a lead. So we are tied up with seconds left to go. I think it's like 10 seconds left to go. So we inbound the ball, of course, to LeBron. LeBron drives the paint, tries to go for the layup. And in real time, couldn't really tell. I don't usually, since I don't complain and look for penalties, that's not usually what I'm looking for. I'm actually watching the ball just to see if it goes in. Didn't go in, and I was like, oh, fuck, we're going to overtime. And then, of course, I see LeBron bitching and complaining. And then he starts destroying the world's biggest, dumbest crybaby temper tantrum that I just can't stand. It's actually one of the things that I hate most about the NBA is when there's a foul or not a foul, a player thinks it's a foul, at one end of the court, they'll be at the end of the court bitching and complaining while everybody's in transition going to the other side of the court, and then the other team scores. And meanwhile, Crybaby McDumbfuck is at the other end of the court still complaining about a penalty. And I just have never understood that, because I'm like, dude, first of all, when in the history of sports has complaining to the referee ever worked? When has a referee ever been like, oh, you know what? You are so right. I'm going to change that. Like, that's not the way it has ever worked, and that's not the way it should ever work, because lots of times they're wrong. But anyways, in this game, the game was over, you know, the end of regulation going into overtime, and they're showing replays, and it's obvious. It's obvious that LeBron's forearm gets grabbed. It's an obvious foul. It should have got called, but it didn't. So here's LeBron. He is literally on the court, like on all fours, like banging his hand on the court, like practically crying. And I'm just like, dude, you're losing the game because of this, because he's exerting and wasting all that dumbass energy on a non-call. And you know what you need to do? You need to fucking move on. And of course, he and the rest of the team did not move on. They let it bother them the whole rest of the way. And the Celtics did not. The Celtics played great during overtime. It remained a little bit close, but in the end, the Celtics were able to walk away with the win. And it's just so mind-blowing to me, because, yes, it was a bad call. But guess what? In overtime and in the fourth quarter, the Lakers had such poor clock management. They turned the ball over a bunch. They let the Celtics set up plays when they should have been fouling them like so quick. They took like something like 20 seconds off the clock when they should have just hurried up and fouled the motherfucker. And they didn't do none of that. They are just an awful fucking team. And there were multiple points where they could have easily won that game and they didn't. But of course, everybody's going to bitch and complain and focus on the one stupid thing that the ref did. And it's like, nah, you need to grow up and move on and get the fuck over it. Then, in the NFC Championship game, really there was only one mess-up call, and really it was too quick for anybody to judge. And it's really on Kyle Shanahan to challenge this play. But on the first drive that the Philadelphia Eagles had when they scored their touchdown, there was a big fourth down play. They were able to, Jalen Hurts passed it to Devontae Smith, who made this great catch. Well, at least it looked like a great catch in real time. And he gets up real quick, and you could tell he's running like, hurry up, hurry up, let's get the playoff, because maybe he didn't catch the ball. And then on replay, you do see that it looks like the ball kind of hits the ground. But the refs didn't stop it and do a quick look at the instant replay, and Kyle Shanahan didn't throw the challenge flag. So the Eagles were able to snap the ball, and they were able to continue to play, and they eventually ended up scoring the touchdown. Now, we can point to many instances in this game as to why the 49ers lost this game. That one catch had absolutely nothing to do with the Eagles winning 31-7. Yeah, I think if they were missing that one touchdown, they still would have won. I don't know. That I'm not really good at math, but I'm pretty sure that would have been the case, especially with how much they dominated. But yeah, it was a bad call. But guess what? Kyle Shanahan should have fucking thrown the challenge flag. He did not. But also at the same time, that's just the game. Sometimes the players are able to just hurry up and Devontae Smith obviously knew he did not really catch the ball. That's why he got up so quick and was like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Let's just call a play so they can't do instant replay. And that's what happened. And sometimes the opposite happens. And they would have called it back and would have been turned over on downs. And then Brock Purdy would have gotten hurt on that possession. Who the fuck cares? But once again, get over it. That is not why the Niners lost yesterday's game. And then finally, the AFC Championship game last night. Now, yes, there were some stupid moments. Most notably, in the fourth quarter, I think it was a Chiefs drive for sure. I can't say if it was the second to last or third to last, but it was a drive for the Chiefs. I believe they scored on this drive. I can't recall, but regardless, there was a 3rd and 9 call. And basically, you know, the ball gets something happens where the refs need to reset the clocks. And so the ref, it's 3rd and 9. He says, we need to reset the clock, the play clock to this and the game clock to this. And they will both start on my whistle. So he whistles and the game clock starts and a play runs. And it's not only a play running, but It's a good move for the Bengals because they actually sacked Patrick Mahomes and it's going to be 4th down and yada, yada, yada. And the Bengals get the ball back. Well, hold up. Wait a minute. So the refs gather and it turns out, and there is video evidence of this, a ref is actually running onto the field to stop play before the 3rd and 9 before the snap on the 3rd and 9. Because they weren't supposed to run the game clock. It was supposed to just be set, and then once they snapped the ball, that's when the game clock was supposed to start. But unfortunately, they didn't do that. And then so, unfortunately, the Chiefs got another play. And because of that, they actually end up converting on it, and I don't recall if they scored or not. But regardless, it was one of the weirdest, and even I was like, what the fuck is going on here? That's bullshit, but the ref did come out and he did run out onto the field before the ball was snapped. And so it was actually right. It was bullshit. I mean, I would be pissed off too if I were a Bengals fan, but I'm sorry. That's the name of the game. And sometimes shit like that happens. Now, there was a holding call on the last run for Patrick Mahomes when he gets pushed out of bounds, 15-yard penalty. So right before that, apparently there was a hold on one of the offensive linemen for the Chiefs. And looking at it, I've seen some pictures of it. It looks like a legit hold, but guess what, people? They don't call holding on every play, and refs don't have eyeballs on every single they don't have eyeballs around their whole fucking head. That's just not the way it works. Sometimes you're going to miss calls. Happens every single fucking game. So Mahomes starts running and people are complaining about the 15-yard penalty when Mahomes was pushed out of bounds. I'm sorry, y'all. You know how I was doing my top five list on Friday and it was the top five greatest conference championship games of all time? Yeah, well, that 1986 one between the Browns and the Broncos, you know, the drive that I was telling you about? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know how it had like a little bit of everything in it? Well, guess what? It had that exact same fucking play where John Elway is running for the first down. He gets the first down. And as he's running out of bounds, he's completely out of bounds, exactly like Mahomes was in the white area. Cleveland pushes John Elway and he gets a 15-yard penalty. So y'all, that has been a rule since 1986. That's always been a rule. You've never been able to push anybody that far out of bounds. That wasn't the play, though. You know why? Because the Bengals lost because of all their dumbass mistakes that they made. Joe Burrow not only had those two interceptions, but he had a dumbass fucking intentional grounding play that was so stupid, and he just shit the bed in that moment. There were multiple times that the Bengals had the chance to go up over the Chiefs, and they just were never able to capitalize. And you know why? Because that's fucking football. And the Chiefs were obviously the better team on the field yesterday. I have seen so many stupid crybabies on Twitter today crying about, oh, the refs gave it away to the Chiefs. No, actually, the Chiefs absolutely obliterated the Bengals. If you actually take a look at the stats, they dominated in the air. They dominated on the ground. They dominated defensively. They dominated special teams. They dominated in every fucking way, shape, and form. So shut the fuck up and get over it. Yes, there are questionable calls in every single game we all watch, but guess what? There are many plays you could point to that your team could have won. You're supposed to overcome the refs. You aren't supposed to let it get in the refs' hands. And when you do, that's when you lose, like the fucking Lakers did on Saturday. When I saw LeBron fucking bitching and crying like the world's biggest baby, I mean, he wouldn't shut the fuck up. He was literally almost in fucking tears. And I'm like, dude, you gotta move on because overtime's about to start. If you keep crying, you ain't gonna be making shots. And guess what? The Lakers lost. So you people who sit around bitching and complaining and acting like refs and stupid penalties are the reason why your team lost, nah, that ain't true. And guess what? When I'm watching a Cowboys game, if you think I sit around and cry about the Dez Caudet game or the 1994 NFC Championship game against the 49ers when the Cowboys lost and the infamous Deion Sanders pass interference on Michael Irvin play, I don't hold on to that shit. You know why? Because there were many other plays in both of those games where the Cowboys could have capitalized and won and done and won in other ways and not let the refs have control of those moments. And the greats know that, by the way. So, I just can't stand people acting like bad penalties are the end of the world. They're a part of the game. They're always going to be a part of the game. We can't instant replay everything. And you all need to grow up and get the fuck over it. With that being said, fools, I hope you enjoy the rest of the week of sports. I'm sure you will have plenty of penalties and referees to bitch, complain, and cry about. And I will talk to you all on Friday.